Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this bright Sunday morning that your son resurrected 2,000 years ago. We came here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we ask your presence upon each one of us this morning. And for those who couldn't make it because of sickness or other reasons, extend your mercy and grace upon them as well. Just unite us with your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, and just want to thank you for everything that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we scan the current American moral condition, there is all the reason why we must stand firm against rampant immorality of the mainstream. Let's talk about divorce rate. At least one out of three marriages are affected by divorce. Marriage lost its sacredness, and divorce does not sound uncommon. An alternative form of marriage, man marries to man, woman marries to woman. This is called homosexual marriage. By the way, this term homosexual is a politically incorrect term. Now people call this the same-sex marriage. It is legalized by the federal laws in 2015, and many states have legalized as well. And the same-sex marriage becomes more and more common to the extent that it is well accepted alternative form of marriage. More and more teenagers identify themselves as gay or lesbian by nature. As they hear these terms more common from everywhere, especially from media. And adultery is celebrated instead of punished. It is legal in 34 states, including Texas. In some state, the penalty is only like $100 fine if you commit adultery. So it's not regarded as a serious offense to God. And availability of pawns. Pawns were hard to get in the past. You'd have to go to sleazy adult video shops, or you have to buy magazines from convenience stores. With the internet and smartphone, they are now available at any time, at any place, and free. If you are a parent, first of all, you have to set a line for yourself from accessing this another form of immorality. Pawns are immorality. Secondly, you think twice when you make a decision to give your children mobile device. What age would be proper to give a smartphone? When you give one to them, how will you control them? It depends on the age of your kids and the discipline they have. If you as an adult do not have discipline, what do you expect from your children? So we live in a time where the whole mass are literally exposed to this detrimental immorality, porns. It impacts whether you are an adult or a teenager or even preteen. So we have to recognize the risk all this immorality may affect ourselves, our family, our school, our church, and our government. You know, I heard the other day a foreign evangelist from India, and he warned America of being 21st century Sodom and Gomorrah. He prophesied that the judgment of God is imminent to America unless America repents. Some of you may disagree with this evangelist, but we have to take to our heart of this warning and then think about what you can do. You know, today I'd like all of us to see how Lot's family was infected by the culture and the surroundings of Sodom and Gomorrah, and eventually lost their moral sense. This last portion of Genesis 19 is perhaps one of the saddest endings of a person who was regarded as a believer, in our day term, born-again Christian, a righteous person who believed in God. You know, our moral sensibility or lack of it is not much different from Sodom. We are believers like Lot, and we can be like Lot if we are not be careful. We can learn a whole lot from Lot's failure and prevent us from being like Lot. So this morning I invite you to Genesis 19. Genesis 19, we are going to read verses from 30 to 38. Genesis 19, 30 to 38. Here's the word of God. And Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he was afraid to stay in Zoar, and he stayed in the cave, and he and his two daughters. And then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. And it came about the following day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger one arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab, and he is the father of the Moabites to this day. And as for the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of sons of Ammon to this day. You know, when the angels came to Sodom, Lot was sitting at the city gate. This pictures that he was no ordinary resident of Sodom. He has become an active, prominent mainstream in politics and commerce. He made his fortune in Sodom, and he settled with power and wealth. He was successful in making his Sodom dream fulfilled, like American dream. There was Sodom dream. His wealth was so outstanding that the northern kings, when they invaded Sodom, recognized his properties and took them away as plunders of war. He was so rich. But today's text alludes us that his moral sensitivity was completely dull and compromised after a long stay in Sodom. You know, when he moved to Sodom early on, he did not think about the impact the city would have on him and his family. You know, we believe that Lot was a Yahweh worshiper, as the New Testament recognized him as a righteous man by faith. So he was just like one of us who confessed the believer of Jesus. So today's episode makes us think that no one is immune. even the believer from immorality. Immorality is contagious and poisonous. It is so easy to compromise with immorality, as was the case for Lot. You know, how do we know Lot has compromised his moral values? Look at his wife. You know, what happened to her? She has become a pillar of salt because she ignores God's warning not to look back. If you go to Palestine these days, near the Dead Sea, there is actually the pillar of salt. People believe that that is actually Lot's wife turned to the pillar of salt. Why don't you turn with me to Genesis 19, verse 17. This is God's warning. When they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you. And do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." That was the last warning of the angels to the Sodom's, to Lot's family. This was given to save the life of Lot's family. And it was saying as if the only grace is left for you is to run to the place where I indicate. Do not linger any longer with your possession in your household. They are ashes now. But against this warning, look at verse 26. Verse 26, "But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." You know, Lot's wife looked back at the city and her estate. You know, even in the midst of disaster stricken to the city, her heart was still lingering with the wealth she left behind. You know, Sodom was everything for her. She was so attached to Sodom, she disobeyed the final warning from God, and she turned to a pillar of salt. She still wanted to bathe in the cesspool of Sodom. Wife and husband share the values. When you see your wife, you see her husband, and vice versa. Whether you like it or not, you and your spouse become the same kind over a long period of time. And the wife of Lot reflects Lot himself. What polluted Lot impacted Lot's wife as well. You know, when you see what happened in the cave, Lot appeared to be an innocent victim. But that is not the case. You know, Lot's two daughters committed incest with their father while Lot was made drunk. First of all, Lot was drunk. Let's think about this fact. In the midst of a bare survival, somehow he secured alcohol. And he was drunk. He consumed an excessive amount of alcohol to be drunk. And he lost his sensibility. You know, being drunk physically here is a picture of spiritual drunkenness. And he lost his spirit of discernment. He became so dull and insensitive to the Spirit of God. And both daughters of Lot did not show any shame or guilt as they committed incest with their father. They did not hold accountability to each other. You know, if one fails, the other could have saved the failed one. But in this case, both daughters of Lot did not have check and balance to each other. They were both contaminated with Sodom's culture as they were born there and grew up there all their life in a family where moral sensitivity has been compromised and there was no fear of God in their hearts. You know, recall what happened when a man of Sodom asked Lot, his visitors, who were God's angels, for a mass rape. All men of the city came, the Bible said, young and old, to rape the visitors. The whole city was infected with no moral sense to do homosexual sex, mass rape, and group sex in public. And there seems no trace of shame or guilt there in the city. You know, while Lot was trying to protect his visitors, Lot came up with his idea to give, instead of his visitors, his two daughters as a victim. And look at Genesis 19:8. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relationship with men. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men in as much as they have come under the shelter of my roof. What does this reveal? Lot has his moral compass. He thought this was a good thing to protect God's angel, but he didn't have any sensibility. You know, his value got mixed up with that of Sodom. His discernment was so dull. His spirit was dark. His moral stance was completely compromised. And he could not protect his daughters. You know, he did not value his family. Remember also that his two daughters were engaged already. And no wonder his sons-in-law-to-be did not show any respect to Lot. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. Lot went out, spoke to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, and said, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. So they thought Lot was joking. You know, there is no sign of respect for Lot's authority from his own family. You know, how can they show the respect to the father who was willing to send his daughters to the cesspool of Sodom? Now let us go back to what happened to Lot in the cave, which is our text. What looks worse is the silence of Lot, even after his daughters gave birth to their sons. Lot did not say a word, no rebuke, no word at all. A breakdown of parental authority. Lot was completely passive and lost completely his moral sense. You know, there is no difference between a typical Sodomite and him, by and large. And his wife and his daughters were all contaminated with immorality and lack of discernment. No fear of God. And Lot did not seem to care about this chaos. You know, it was also strange that Lot did not contact Abraham from the cave. You know, would not Abraham help to restore Lot if Lot were to seek help from his uncle? You know, we can be confident that Abraham would. Because in the past, he rescued his nephew from the northern kingdom's captivity. He went all the way to as far as Dan and fought with the northern kingdoms and brought his nephew back. But it seems that Abraham may have never known that his nephew survived from the destruction of the city. What does this story tell us? You know, we cannot dismiss this episode as if it has nothing to do with us. It's a Sodom, it's a Lot. You know, we're not living in Sodom, we are not Lot. We could have just dismissed just that way, but that's not the case. It's not just a failure of Lot himself. It impacts his wife as well as his children. You know, there are a couple of lessons from this story. The first one, recognize that no one is immune to the dangers. Recognize that no one is immune to the dangers. The first thing we need to recognize is that our culture, American culture, is less wicked than that of Sodom. You know, we have to accept the dangers out there in our culture every day, every corner. Distortion of truth and morality has a different degree, but the Sodom and our culture are heading down to a downward spiral, whether we like it or not. Do you know in 2017, there are more than 12 major natural disasters in the United States that cost more than $1 billion. Just, you know, list all those. I think this map, look at this map. This is a billion-dollar disasters in 2017 in the U.S. This map may be a little bit dim, but look at California flooding. And all the way to Hurricane Maria, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Harvey. It hit Texas and Florida and East Coast. Look at Northern California fires. It still goes on. Probably more than $9.4 billion to date. And Western wildfires in summer, and North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana drought, and upper Midwest severe weather. It hit Iowa and those areas. And Western severe weather, Central severe weather, Missouri and Arkansas flooding. And Southwest severe weather, and Southern tornado outbreak in January. And Midwest tornado, March. Central tornado, March. And upper Midwest severe weather. And Southeast freeze in March, $2.1 billion. We have seen in 2000 alone this endless natural disaster. You know, what does that tell us? What do you think? In 2017 alone, we have seen this many disasters hit very hard in the very land of America we live in. Should we not take all these natural disasters as God's warning? I think we should. You know, God's mercy has a time constraints. God is not merciful endlessly. There's a time that He will judge. He'll judge America. He'll judge the world. He'll judge each one of us. You know, it is time to recognize the danger of immorality and step up to be transformed. It is time to repent and renounce and discipline ourselves to be in tune with God of holy. You know, all immoral practices must go. You know, it is time to be holy before the Lord for yourself and for your spouse and for your children. So second point I'd like to make, declare and model your moral standard repeatedly. Declare and model your moral standard over and over again. You know, children are exposed to immorality repeatedly over a long period of time would have a hard time to set free from such bondage and lose their sensitivity. You know, if their exposure starts early in their formation, they never develop a conscience. You know, we cannot depend on our schools, our government any longer to protect our children from immorality. You know why? Because to our sadness, our schools and government have compromised themselves to immorality. The moral absoluteness and the fear of God have been long gone since 1960s, when they stopped public prayer in public school and take down Ten Commandments from the walls of the public arena. You know, America began to decay. And since then, it has been accelerated. You know, again, all confusions and media bombarding with relativism and New Age philosophy, the only standard we can trust and rely on is biblical principles. You know, you cannot depend on your own judgment either, because the culture has contaminated so much that our judgment is dull. We're not as sharp as used to be. So the only thing that we can depend on is what Bible has to say, and build our principle based on biblical principles. That's the only way we can get out of this chaos. Don't rely on your own judgment, and don't let what other people say influence you either, especially media. You know, only God is absolutely true, and we must rely on the Word of God as the final authority for ourselves and for our family, our children. You know, we have only two institutions we can cultivate our moral stance to our children. You know, what are the two institutions that we can still cultivate our moral stance to our family? They are home and church. Only two institutions left, and both of which you can influence, by the way. You know, between home and church, which institution do you believe has to be a primary place where you can model your moral standard? You know, there are many kinds of churches around us, but as for Jubilee Church, we do our best to raise up our children, our next generation, to follow Jesus based on the authority of the Bible. However, you have to recognize that the primary responsibility to raise your children with absolute morality and godliness is at your home. You know, if you are parents, unless you stand up to declare and model yourself, your standard based on the Bible repeatedly to your children, the likelihood for your children to stand up is very unlikely. The demise of family that we have seen in this America recently is the demise of our children's generation, because family was broken and father was so passive and they left their home. And single mom raised their kid. They have no time to educate their children with the moral absolute values. You know, think about Lot and his passivity and his compromise and what happened to his family and his children. You know, today's text we read, the saddest thing that can happen in a believer's family, it's completely disintegrated, completely compromised, no hope. It's a hopeless situation. You know, your children need you. Your modeling of ethics and Christian values. You know, your children need your protection and your education, your enforcement of moral values. You know, before you make a decision to give a smartphone to your children, think twice if it is too early for them to have their own smartphone. If you think they are ready to have their own smartphone, then you have to be ready to give your parental control over them and monitor proactively. You cannot just leave the phone, I trust you. Don't trust your children. Can you trust yourself? Don't trust your children. You need to monitor. You need to check. You need to, you know, have accountability, hold accountability to your children if they already have a smartphone. And check their phone, what they access. You know, not only you need to put parental control, but you need to, you know, look at their phone once in a while to see what they have been accessing and whom they have been talking to and so on. And all kinds of cesspool of American culture come into your kid's smartphone. You need to block it. You need to protect it if you already have given them a smartphone. If you don't have time to do monitor, then you are not ready to give your children a smartphone. A smartphone can be a biggest risk for you and for your children. You know, exercise your God-given authority to your children. Don't let your children control over you. We have seen many families like that. They cannot say anything to their children because the parents are so weak. You have to say no. You have to punish, even lashes. That's the parental control God has given you to exercise. And defend the truth of the Word of God. And teach them. And step up. And get involved. You know, have a time to debrief on a regular basis with your children, one-on-one. Immorality is contagious and poisonous. Recognize the danger to you and to your family and to your children. It's time to cut off any immoral practices for yourself first. If you are infected, your children will be infected if they have not been infected already. Infected software cannot cure the infected hardware. Impossible. So you have to clean yourself from all kinds of immoralities you can think of, including porns. Complete cutoff, complete separation from those practices, especially if you are a man. Unless you renounce any traces of immorality, you will be the one who makes your family vulnerable and contaminated. Don't be another Lot in 21st century. Let's pray. Father, we just want to examine ourselves before your holy presence. If there's any conviction in our heart that we have been doing wrong unto ourselves, unto our family, unto our spouse and our children, please forgive us and let us have courage to renounce all immorality and trace of immorality in our life. And let today be the turning point to clean up ourselves by the help of the Holy Spirit, and more importantly, by our resolute decision to be holy. Father, we don't want to be another Lot. We don't want to be swept away. We want to stand firm. And give us holy desire in each one of us. And give us wake-up call. So that we would not be swept away with the mainstream immorality. Protect us, each one of us, and protect each man and each woman in this room, and each father and each mother, and each individual, to protect our family, our children. Father, let the holy legacy begin from our generation so that we would pass down moral stance based on the Bible and holiness, sanctification to our to the next generation. Father, all the contaminated infection be removed by your help as we confess. And we lift up all our children into your hands and have your mercy extended over them, Father. And you are the ultimate parents for each one of our family and each one of our children and each one of us. And extend your mercy upon each one of us so that we would strongly stand up, you know, firmly based on the Bible principle. And let us be always in the presence of God, in the fear of God, that we would cast down all this immorality from our life, from our thought, from our hearts. Father, bless Jubilee Church and each individual and each family, each father and each mother. We thank you for your warning from Genesis 19. It's not just a story, but a warning, individual warning, and the warning to our church to stand firm. We humbly accept your principles today, your teachings today, and let the word of God remain in us and in a grow, the seed of word grow to be holy as you are holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Father, we lift up our heart to You. Thank You that, you know, as long as we confess our sins and renounce them and turn from all trace of immorality to turn to You, we know that the full forgiveness is available to each one of us. Father, may Your Spirit help us, you know, every day for us and for our family, for our children, to stand firm with Your word. Father, stir up hunger for Your word and desire to be holy like Jesus Christ. Jesus, You are our model. You are, you know, our ultimate target. Give us desire to grow up to Your maturity so that we would be joyful being holy, you know, being walking with You each step and every thought. Let those be captive to the thought of Jesus. Just bless our Jubilee Church, and so that we would be just like a church in Philadelphia in the first century, filled with love of Jesus and zeal for the lost and inner desire to be holy. Just let us be filled up with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.